All right. Well, welcome, everyone. See if you can remind me what our topic is for the summer. It was four B's. Who wants to do one of the B's? Belong, believe, become, and the one everybody just loves to talk about, behave. Van, I'm glad you got that one. So, for those of you that don't know, we're in 1 Thessalonians. For the summer, we do a book each summer. And we are in chapter 1. Don't laugh, Pastor Kurt. Verse 4. All right, you following along with me on verse 4. We know, dear brothers and sisters, we know. That know means more than just, okay, I have a brief idea that maybe. It means I know that I know that I know that I know. Are you aware that's different than just a brief passing of information? Okay. We have some things that we as Christians absolutely must know that we know, that we know, that we know, so that we can stand on them and move forward. Some of the things that we've been talking about are those things. They relate to believe, belong, become, and behave. So as we go through this morning, you'll hear me use some of those four words. Okay, following along. Those of you that like to follow along. Dear brothers and sisters, we know that God loves you. So if I went around and asked each of you on a scale of 1 to 10 how convinced you are of that. So not just know because somebody told you, not just know because when you were a little kid, mommy and daddy sang, Jesus loves me, this I know. Okay? But that you know. From 1 to 10. I'm not asking anybody to say it out loud because I don't want to embarrass anybody. If the whole church says 2, I'm going to be disappointed. But hopefully you're making progress in knowing that He loves you. Okay? And whatever number you're at when you came in today, I want to raise that a little bit. So if you were only 3 convinced, 30% convinced, I want you to get at least the 40 or 50 this morning. Second one, that He has chosen you. Chosen you. Picked you out. Chosen. Okay, when you go to Walmart, oh, she's back in the room. I don't always like to take her to Walmart because she gets mesmerized, almost lost in the choices. Now, I go in looking for 3 or 4 things and probably come out with 6 or 7. She could spend the day in Walmart because everything is fascinating and interesting. You know, when I take some of the kids through, some of my grandkids, can we go through the toy aisle? And they just, you know, and so she goes in and she goes, oh, look at that. I'm like, keep moving, keep moving. Oh, look at that, look at that. And so she doesn't always get the idea of chosen. We're going in there to choose what fruit we need. We're going in there to choose what toilet paper we're buying. Not just look at them all, okay? So Jesus chose you. Chose you. Picked you out of all the, right? Okay. Joseph, are you convinced of these things? So do you all agree with me that when you love somebody, you do your best to be there for them? You can't be there every day, all day. I mean, we have responsibilities, we have jobs, we have commitments, but generally you show your love for somebody by being there for them. Did God do that? Father God says, I will never, never, never Never. Okay? We believe the Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit that men wrote. And the Holy Spirit didn't inspire someone to write, Father God says, I will seldom leave you or forsake you. The word is never, folks. Never. Okay? The Holy Spirit is always within you. Always. Okay? Always. Not sometimes. Okay, Pastor Kurt, like you shared this morning, not when you feel like he is, not when you're aware or not that he is, not when you're so distracted with everything in your mind, you're like, I don't know where you are. He's there. Okay? Always. And then what did Jesus tell his disciples when he was leaving? I will be with you always. Always. He didn't say, I'll be with you every now and then. I'll be with you when you ask me to be with you. I'll be with you always. Do you agree with me that God is love? Yes? Okay. Twice in 1 John chapter 4, it says that exact thing. God is love. So since that is true, I want you to allow me to review something with you. And you know, it's good to review. When I reread a book or I go to a conference and I'm like, oh yeah, I heard that 12 years ago. And it's good to be reminded. Okay? So I'm going to do a little reminding today. Because I want to raise that 30, 40, maybe some of you are even 80 or 90 convinced that God loves you, percent. I want to raise it. So Scripture tells us that love is patient. So, God is patient. Okay? God's love, right? Why are some of you looking at me like, huh? Okay. God is love. Love is patient. Those of you that are mathematicians or teachers, then that means that God is patient. Thank you. Some of you get it. The rest of you, you'll think about it this afternoon and it'll come. Okay, so love is kind, which means God is kind. Love does not envy. God does not envy. Love is not rude. God is not rude. Love is not irritable. God is not in a bad mood toward us. Thank you, Lord. For years, I used to think he was up there grumbling and just waiting to whack me over the head. That's not what it says. Right? Love does not rejoice when wrong is done. You know that God cares when you're hurt. God cares when you're hurt. Love rejoices when truth is victor. God rejoices when we walk in the truth. Love always hopes the best for others. God sees and believes the best for you. God sees and believes the best for you. You may not be there yet, but when he sees Jim, he says, okay, here's Jim, here's my best for him, and he's going to get there. He's going to get there. Jim might be saying, I don't know if I'm ever going to get there. God says, Jim, you're going to get there. He sees and believes the best for us because love sees and believes the best for us. All right, so now chosen. Paul repeats that same phrase in 2 Thessalonians. God has chosen you. Jesus also said that he chose us. We need to become convinced of some things. Those of you that like to follow along, I'm going to read from John 15. John chapter 15, which most of you would recognize is the abiding chapter, starting with verse 12. This is my suggestion. Marty, it doesn't say that? Not even in a modern translation. I don't think so. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. We'll come back to that. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. Lay down their life for their friends. This is Jesus talking. You have the possibility of someday becoming a friend of mine. You guys aren't buying me this morning. What's with this? You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. You know why I like that? Sometimes even when we're convinced that God loves us, it's like, yeah, but he has to. He has to. But if he called you a friend, you what, your friends? Whoa, there's that word again. You choose your friends because you like spending time with them. So not only does Jesus love us, Pastor Kurt, he likes us. He likes us. He enjoys spending time with us. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Oh, here we go. You did not choose me. Well, I thought I did. I accepted the Lord. What does that mean? But I chose you. He was pursuing me before I made the choice to choose him. But I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. Who? He has a mission for me. And that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. Here we are again. Here is my suggestion, that you love one another. Just for the tape, it says command. All right. So we need to become convinced. We need to believe that despite what we feel, despite what we tell ourselves, despite what other people may have spoken to us, and despite the devil whispering in our ear, okay, like that commercial, you have the angel on the one side and the devil on the other side. He does whisper things in our ears. We need to become convinced that he loves us, he's chosen us, he likes us, and he has a plan for our lives. We need to become convinced. So the truth is that you are chosen, you are loved, you are liked, you do belong to the family of God. Belong. You need to believe and know and become convinced. Greater love has no one than this, than one laid down his life for his friends. Who laid down his life for you? Oh, no. Any other time this group does not whisper. Okay, and next week at the picnic, I can guarantee you, you won't be whispering. So who laid down his life for you? Jesus. Okay, so who are you friends with? Okay, so everybody's been sitting for a little bit. Everybody who's a friend of Jesus, stand up. God loves me. Okay, are you convinced of that? Okay, why don't you just quietly think a minute? Since you all want to whisper anyway. Okay, God loves me. God loves me. Not just the person sitting next to me. Not just the person sitting in front of me. Not just the person sitting behind me. God loves me. So think about that and then just take a second and thank you. Thank you, God, that you love me. That you love me. Me. That you love me. Yes, you love me. You also belong to the body of Christ, the followers of Jesus, And what does Jesus command us to do? Love one another. See, most of you did not like this word. The behave word, most of us don't like. But that's because we're trying to do this without realizing these two and that we're becoming. Right? So if we're convinced that God loves us and that we belong, we will start to behave differently toward one another, and that is love. So let's go back. I know this will be a little rough, but I'm doing it to myself as well. Let's go back over that list of what love is and what God is, and let's see how we do. Okay? I'm not going to ask for results. You don't have to turn your quiz in at the end of the message. But let's just ask ourselves some of these questions. Okay. Love is patient. This is what we're going to do. Am I? Don't answer for me, honey. Love is patient. The smirk gives it away. She has no idea what a poker face means. Just isn't there. Okay. So, love is patient, am I? Love is kind, am I? We're going to pause a minute, because if I rush through this, you'll say, yeah, I did good on all those. Love does not envy, do I? That's an easy one to evaluate. When somebody succeeds in something, do you applaud or do you go, oh, I wish that would have been me? Oh, sorry. I might have pushed the button there. Not really. Okay. So, love is not rude. Am I not rude? Love is not irritable. Am I? Depending on the day. Love does not rejoice when wrong is done. Do I not rejoice? Do I rejoice when truth wins out? Do I always hope the best for others? In other words, can I see people where they are now, but realize they're on a journey and I want the best for them? Or do I concentrate on the struggles that they have now? Or am I doing what God's doing and saying, you're going to get there. I believe it. You're going to get there. You're not there yet, but I believe it. Love does not demand its own way. Do I? Love does not hold offenses. It forgives. Do I? Three more. Love does not give up on others. Do I? Love continues to move forward. It never quits, never fails. Am I moving forward? Or have I given up? Love holds on to hope. Am I holding on to hope? This returns us there to 1 Thessalonians, verse 4, where we started. So if you want to go back there a minute, I'll reread the verse and then I'll read the end of that verse. We know, dear brothers and sisters, or we are convinced that God loves you and has chosen you, and we know of your perseverance of hope in Jesus. Perseverance of hope in Jesus. Hope is what allows someone to persevere. As long as you have hope, you can press through a situation. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we can't easily locate hope. In those situations, Jesus is always the hope. It's not the doctor's report. It's not the test. It's not the stock market. It's not who's president. It's not what got passed or didn't get passed. It's not whether you got a raise at work or not. The hope has to come from Jesus. Then you can persevere and push through the situation. Become convinced. If you're convinced that you belong, that He chose you, likes you, and loves you, then you can grab the hope that is in Jesus and persevere. Amen? All right, let's stand. Now you know why I dismissed the kids a little early. Because this felt like it was to be an impactful message, not a long message. So throughout the message, we've given you some opportunities to talk to Jesus, to think about some things. So let's just pray in conclusion about some of those. Father God, I am so thankful that You told us that You never leave. And that one of the ways You show Your great and awesome love for us is that You are always there for us in the midst of every situation. I thank You, God, that You love me. And I want to leave here even more convinced of that fact. So, Father God, I give You permission to continue, even as I leave here today, to convince me. Let me notice the ways that You love me. Let me be aware of the fact, Jesus, that You like me and enjoy spending time with me, that I'm Your friend. Some days I don't know why You chose me as Your friend, but You did. You did. And Holy Spirit, You're always there with inside of me, whether I can feel You there or not, whether things are overwhelming me or not, so that I'm not able to quiet my heart to sense You there. I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are always there. You're always our comfort. You're always our strength. You're always encouraging. And Father, I thank You that Your love for me never quits, never fails, never stops hoping, never stops believing the best for each one of us. You see where I was, You see where I am today, and You see where I am headed. And You're rooting for me, applauding me. You're there to help me along the way, and You're believing, even though sometimes I'm not convinced, but You're convinced that I'll get there, that we as individuals will get there, that we as families will get there, that we as a church will get there, and our hope isn't in what I can do, it isn't in what others can do, it's in what You can do. And I am so thankful that nothing is impossible with You. So regardless of what I face with relationships, with finances, with health, You are more than sufficient to meet that need. So today, Jesus, we reach out to You. We grab Your hand. We grab hold of You. And we say, Jesus, don't let go of me. I won't let go of You. And You are my hope in these situations. You are my hope. And I am convinced You love me. And You've chosen me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I know what Pastor Steve was talking about today about the longing and everything like that. And really feel like this is a word of the Lord for some certain people here that I don't know what the situation is going on in your lives right now. But he just wanted to affirm that God has a place for you. So I don't know what that applies to, whatever situation you're going through. But God has a place for you. And so just be encouraged that he wants to make sure that he is looking out for you, that he has a place for you and wants to really let you know that today.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed, folks. Have a great day.